The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when you want business experts that get to know you, not just your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.
Our next guest is fed up with the notion that billionaire philanthropists should be relied upon to help save the world. In his book, Winner Takes All, Anand Giridharadas takes aim at the super rich. He says they're obsessed by supposedly do-gooding, but at the same time are hoarding opportunities for themselves. The book has caused quite a stir amongst the super rich, with Bill Gates suggesting Anand's ideas are reminiscent of communism. I caught up with him earlier and I first asked him if perhaps he's generalising too much when accusing the rich of vanity projects, when in fact there are many who simply want to help create a better society.
If I was tarring them with one brush, my book would have been a lot shorter, and I would have been able to spend more time with my kids over the last 3 years. You know, I went on a reporting journey over the last 3 years precisely because I know how complicated it is and how many different stripes of people there are within these worlds, and I went and reported on them and tried to understand what the rich and powerful are doing when they not only say they want to make change, but are really taking over social change. And what I found is, you're right, there's all kinds of, there's people on the left in that billionaire plutocratic world, there's people on the right, there's people who are really doing huge transformative efforts to make change like Bill Gates, and there's people who do very simple cosmetic things. But what they do have in common is, as a class of people, the current social arrangements around the world tend to work for them, and tend to work for them regardless of who they are and their particularity. It's very rare to actually find people in that class of people who don't take advantage of, for example, very rigged tax systems. Ireland is unfortunately heavily involved in some of those rigged global tax systems that disfavor regular people who, you know, made the mistake of working for a living. This is not a matter of individual morality and whether some billionaires are better than others, which I'm sure there is, and there's a tremendous amount of diversity. It's about the fact that as a class of people, the plutocratic elite has managed to live in a world that is designed to work for them. And I believe that needs to change.
You mentioned the Irish system there. Many corporations here owned by millionaires, billionaires, but we as a small island economy need those companies. So what do you say to that? Like, there is a balance to be struck here for sure.
Well, Ireland is being used. I think Ireland has been part of an effort by some of the biggest companies in the world, Apple and Google and others, to create structures using the social and legal infrastructure of Ireland, but actually with very little interest in the country of Ireland, to essentially evade taxes elsewhere. And I don't think that's right. I think those are the kinds of things where we need global agreements around taxation to prevent those kinds of things.
So what does the alternative look like here, whether it's for philanthropists or those monopolies and large corporations? Is the simple answer here larger, higher taxes? Because some will say, well, you're just punishing success if that's the simple alternative you have to offer.
Anybody who thinks that taxing wealthy people their fair share is punishing success is probably a very wealthy person. I mean, here's the simple reality. I would bet that most people listening to this on your broadcast today will agree that we have lived in an age of extraordinary innovation. But I think many of your listeners would also agree that if we switch from innovation to progress, if progress means most people's lives getting better, the education of their kids getting better, their opportunity to rise getting better, the infrastructure of their society getting better, their job security getting better, it has not been an age of progress for many, many people in many Western countries. And so I don't think one solution like taxing rich people is the silver bullet, but I do think rich people prosecuted a revolution, an anti-tax revolution over the last 30, 40 years that has led them to be historically undertaxed. And we need to restore the kinds of sensible, you know, higher taxes on very rich people, and as well as invent new ones for the age of kind of Bitcoin and ethereal money, so that the dignity of most people is once again at the center of the life of our societies and not the interests of plutocrats.
I'm sure some would argue, though, that, well, if they're not spending their money trying to do good, trying to make an impact, trying to affect change, they're going to spend it elsewhere in a very meaningless way. So is there not still an argument to be said, better for them to try than not try at all? And yeah, what's your answer to what will they do with their money otherwise?
It's a great question. I think in general, you're right, that making an effort to do something good and make changes is probably better than buying a yacht, right? But I want to challenge your premise in a certain way, because I actually believe that there are many, many cases where the world would have been better off if the billionaire in question had bought a yacht. The Sackler family in the United States, which was the family that behind Purdue Pharma, which invented the drug OxyContin, which has helped seed the opioid crisis in the United States, a crisis that has killed more than 200,000 people. While they were making billions from the sale of that drug, and even as the government was saying, this is very dangerous, it's being abused, and they were pushing back, they were also doing arts philanthropy. Why were they doing arts philanthropy? Well, no one knows what's in their hearts, but I can tell you what it did during my entire childhood and young adulthood was that everybody I knew, if they knew the Sackler name at all, they knew about the museum wings, and they didn't know about the opioid crisis. In that case, would we have been better off with them buying a yacht? I would argue we would, because if they didn't have the moral glow of being arts patrons, I believe journalists and regulators would have come for them much earlier. Only in the last year or two, 20 years into this thing, have they kind of started to face any pushback. And if they'd started to face that pushback 5 years ago, we would have saved thousands and thousands of lives, potentially.
It sounds like you feel like we're coming to the end of a cycle of decades of poor spending, not seeking equality in society, and that a new cycle needs to begin. But we find ourselves in this moment of Brexit, uncertainty with the global economy. Are you hopeful that things can change? Should we be worried about the ramifications of something like Brexit and what that's going to actually mean for the progress that you speak of?
I really do believe that we are in the last gasps of an age of capital. And the problem when a kind of era, a 40-year era like that dies, is it doesn't go gently. And I think a lot of what we are seeing around the world, the various forms of chaos, whether it's, you know, Brexit, whether it's Donald Trump and the election of such a, you know, frankly, in my view, dangerous figure in American life, to me is evidence of something deeper and more systemic, right? Because each of these things has their own logic, but they're all kind of happening at the same time, and there's also some connective tissue. And what I believe that connective tissue is we've kind of reached the limits of what this current system and set of social arrangements, this kind of very market-friendly approach, of what it can do for us. And I believe we are on the cusp of a new age of reform in which figuring out hard problems, like how do we tax people in an age where money can slink around invisibly through your phone? How do we protect workers in the age of Uber and Amazon and the gig economy? I think the era that is coming is going to be focused on building the kind of public infrastructure and systems we need to allow more people to have a flourishing life.